Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's so much fun to be here. I love coming here to speak, and I love coming here to just be part of the service. And when we were here for the Valentine's banquet, Trent, I still have that song running through my head. If my nose is running money, I'd blow it all on you, but it's not. it's great. It's great. You know, and I believe laughter is a lot of fun. And every once in a while, it's good to tell a joke. Every once in a while. And so I'm going to tell you a joke, and it's a bad joke because it's not that funny, but you're all going to probably laugh. And if you don't, it'll even be more awkward, and then I'll laugh. But did you hear about the wayward son that came back? He did the hokey pokey, and he turned his life around. All right, I just had to say that because my brother told me that the other day, and I was kind of laughing about it. Yeah, the bad dad jokes. Yeah, I'm just waiting to embarrass them. So, yeah, we're having twins. We already have one boy, 3 years old. His name's Jack, and we're having two more boys come October. So we'll have a house full of boys. You can pray for my wife. But what I want to talk about today is hope. I want to talk about hope. What is hope? You could say hope. Well, it could be a person too. I got that. Took a little bit. You could say hope is the expectation of something to come. Or you could say hope is an eagerly anticipating something to come. With eager anticipation. And I had that definition working for me the other day. I got something in the mail. It was a letter. Really professional. Very, very... No, not quite. It was a letter saying I was a part of a class action lawsuit. I was like, ooh, what's going on? Well, here, the bank that we had our house bought through first had overcharged just interest when we paid it off when we sold it. And so they're saying, you can receive X amount of dollars way up here. And I'm like, yeah. And if you want to be part of this lawsuit, just don't do anything. They will gladly just... you know, take care of everything for you, and you will be reimbursed for the sum up to the amount that they took. And I was like, okay, well, this sounds good. And I started doing the interest figures, and I was like, hey, yeah. And so then they said, okay, you've won. Your check's in the mail. And so I was like, okay. Every day I would stop home, and I would open the mailbox looking for the check, and I'd eagerly be anticipating it. And one day it finally came. And I had that money spent like five times over because, A, we're having twins, and we needed some renovations done in the house and certain things. And I'm eagerly anticipating, and I open it up, $7.19. My hope was dashed. But the part that I wanted to get to was the eagerly anticipating with hope. Do we eagerly anticipate things? So in today's life, a lot of people are living their lives with no hope. They have transitioned to a seize-the-moment society, putting what little hope they do have in things that will leave them empty, disappointed. Some of these things could be their job, their possessions, the things they buy. You could always buy a little more, buy a little more, buy a little more, and it still never satisfies your desires. It could be a position or title you hold that you put your hope into. It could be that promotion at work that you don't get, and then all of a sudden your hopes are dashed. Even more, with all the negativity on the news, one could feel like there is no hope for tomorrow. Drugs, crime, scandals, rumors of war, terrorist attacks, all have taken their hand at helping destroy hope, resulting in the upbringing of a hopeless generation. You go to Mardi Gras this weekend, you talk to half the kids there, they don't have hope. I mean, they might put hope in the worldly things, but they don't have the hope we're talking about. They don't have hope. So often we put things, hope in things that are not everlasting. Yes, it's okay to hope for things that you need. Like, I really hope I get that apartment so I can live someplace. I really hope that my next meal comes somewhere. We have that type of hope, yes. But I want to focus more on a bigger hope. I want to focus on a hope that won't rot away, that won't rust and decay from moth in this life. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. That hope is in eternal life. That's the hope I want to talk about today. It's far greater and bigger than any of us could ever really imagine. And yeah, when we have that hope, it's something to get excited about. It's something to be eagerly anticipating, that eternal life with Christ. Yes, there's going to be hard times. Yes, we're still going to have struggles. Yes, we're still going to fail. But what makes us pick ourselves back up and get on to the next day is the hope that we have in Jesus. So don't think that these struggles and these trials and tribulations that we have are all just done in vain. God uses each and every one of those trials to bend us, to mold us, to make us stronger, make us grow deeper in Him and sink our roots down deep. God uses our circumstances to bring Him praise. Some of these circumstances that I've had lately, and kind of where this message of hope is coming from, is all the stuff that has happened in 2017 already. You know, somebody said, when it rains, it pours. Yes, it does. You know, and this is, I don't say this to say, oh, poor me, but I say it to just bring it to light, like, how should we react to the circumstances of life? Started out in March. My mother was helping her grandson down a rocky pile and misstepped and landed on a rock and broke her femur in her hip. She was laid up for a long time. Well, that's very depressing, because now all of a sudden we're picking up the slack at the farm where she's not able to. Now we have an extra person here and there, and it's teaching us to bend and blend. It's teaching us to have patience and grace for one another, because trying times puts tension on things. Okay, so we're starting to see the upside of that, and then the tornado hits. And again, we're putting our hope in probably the wrong things every once in a while, because we had just bought a new farm, and on that farm there was a 60 by 100 foot shop, fully concreted, heat in the floor, the whole nine yards, and we were needing bigger shop space, and I was all for it. Now on top of that, there was another shed there, a 50 by 200 foot shed, and in 10 minutes, it was gone. We were picking up little pieces of that shed 2 miles away in dollar bill size form. Our hopes were dashed. Like, well, I guess the good news is we never got to use it, so I guess we don't know what we're missing, you know? But honestly, though, that building site was just gone. Okay, the tornado came over. It wiped our neighbor completely out. Then it hit our farm, the main milking farm, and it did damage there. And then it decided that, hey, I wasn't done with you. I'm going to go hit your dry cow facility, and I'm going to wipe out the shop, the shed, the barn, and the house. And I started thinking, I was like, Lord, what are you doing? I was getting on my knees asking Him. I started feeling like Job a little bit, but Job had it way worse. I mean, my family's still around. But I started thinking, I was like, why is this happening? And then I started remembering things like, when I was with 513 and we had big events like this happen, right on the other side, if you're going through this part, every valley, there's a high. There's something big coming out on the other side. We can always use our circumstances to grow, finding hope. And I was reminded of Romans 5, starting in verse 1, says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, so we've been made right in God's sight by faith. Faith in what? We have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. So that's the what. Because of Jesus, what He did for us, we have peace with God. That's a great thing to have, peace with God. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. That undeserved privilege is we can go straight to our Father without having to do all the Old Testament stuff. Jesus is our intercessor. In this undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That's where hope's coming in. We can share in God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Oh, okay, really? We can rejoice in there. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And the character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to a disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So when we cling to that and we look at that, we're like, okay, so trials, tribulations, problems develop endurance. When you have to run a race, you develop endurance. Okay, you run 5 miles one day, all right, which I've never done in my life. I'm just using it as an example. You run 5 miles. You get through that. And you think, oh, that wasn't so bad. I could do that again. You're building an endurance. And that endurance is shaping the way your character is. So you have a different character. You hold yourself up a little higher. You're saying, ah, 5 miles, that's nothing. I got this. And that character strengthens our confident hope, knowing that whatever we face in this life is just this much compared to what we get on that side in eternity. So, going down the chapters a little ways into Romans 15, starting in verse 13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch what it's saying there? Two parts. One, who is the source of our hope? God is the source of our hope. Not anything we can buy, not anything we can do, not our kids, not our family. Yes, they are lovely and we love them very much, but our hope is in God. He is the source of our hope. That was one. Two, we're going to overflow with confident hope. And remember that definition I said about hope? Eagerly anticipating something to come. Are we overflowing with confident hope? Are we bursting at the seams? Are we preparing for it? The hope of salvation. Or did we say what we needed to say, believe what we need to believe, and just got that far, and that's all the further we need to go because, hey, we got our fire insurance, so we're good? Or do we keep preparing for it? I check that mailbox every day. I was getting more and more antsy every time I looked in there. When that day comes, I'm sure glad it's not going to be a check for $7.19. I'm glad it's going to be, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, that's the hope we need. We need to be full and joyful. That's something to get excited about. Especially in times of trials. It's hard. I know it is. Hope in earthly things leads to disappointment. I've stated it before. If we have hope in the Lord, we are saying we are anticipating. We are expecting his return. And that this is something we can get excited about. It's a hope knowing that he will make all things right again. It's a hope that this life's temporary and we get to be with our Heavenly Father. It's a hope knowing that all the pain and suffering we've had here will be taken away. To have that hope in our lives, to understand that hope, it's a game changer in the way we should live. Romans 12:2, to be in the world, not of the world. That's one of the big things. We know the end game. We know that God's already won. Satan has no hold on us. We have that hope. One of my good friends from the Chippewa Falls area said, with God on our side, we have a stacked deck. If we have God on our side, there is nothing we're going to go into that he doesn't have our back, because he is a good, good father. And what good father does not give good gifts? What good father doesn't also take us through a couple things to make us learn, right? So, it's a game changer. Another verse that sticks out to me as we're going through these trials, and as you go through trials, you can cling to these too. In James 1, starting verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That says it's pretty good there too. In 1 Peter, it sums it up, the way our hope is in, what our hope is in, and how we should be living. It really is quite an awesome way of saying it. So we're going to read just a little bit of 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3, going down through verse 9 or so. It says, "Blessed," and this is in the ESV standard, so, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our God's not dead. "To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with the joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Five little things we want to grab out of those verses there, just really quick. Number one, God's great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. It's a living hope. It's not a stagnant hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. We have been born again to obtain an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. Amen to that. We are being protected for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We presently suffer trials. This is point four. We presently suffer trials and testings so that our faith may be tested and proven to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And final point, we are obtaining as the outcome of our faith the salvation of our souls. That came out of verse 9. So how do we live this out? If you skip down to verse 13, it says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The therefore is kind of like, therefore, because of this stuff, let's prepare. So it says, preparing your minds for action. So get ready. Eager anticipation. Let's get ready. Be sober-minded. Let's not think too highly of ourselves. Let's not think too depressed of ourselves either. But be sober-minded. And finally, the last one, is to set our hope fully on the grace that is brought by Jesus Christ. When we read that, you can't help but smile a little bit, knowing God's got you. You're his children. He's got you. It doesn't matter what happens in this life, knowing that my hope is in what I just read about in 1 Peter. That's where my hope lies. Knowing whatever tornado happens, whatever natural disaster happens, and it gets harder when you start thinking of different trials that you guys go through. Loss of life. Family emergencies of any sort. Bank accounts going bad. Those are all trials, but you know, that's not where our hope is. Knowing that my hope is in what Jesus is doing for us. Knowing my hope is the source, is sourced from God. It's like God's sitting up there, "I'll just write you out another check of hope. Here you go. Here's some more hope." He's the source of it. He will give us all we need. That's something to eagerly anticipate. That's something to expect. That's something to hope for. So I want to close with this song from 513 Free. And it's a song about where our hope comes from. And then in the middle of it, or at the end of it, it's a longer song. But there's a spoken word at the end. And the spoken word is coming from the cross as a tree. It may sound kind of weird, but I just ask that you be reflective and let these words sink in. If you guys want to start that song, that'd be great.
So, but more so, they told me that today I would meet him. The the one responsible for my bloody fate. So in deep hatred I waited, but then I saw him. And there he was, lying, broken and beautiful, like stained glass shattered in the palm of the ground. And he looked up at me with an exhausted smile in his eyes, like I had a finish line tattooed across my face. And then he held me like he missed me, and he missed me like he had bad aim and never intended to hit me. Then it hit me that that lumberjack possessed by the Grim Reaper didn't make a mistake when he picked me. And this so-called felon, this stranger, wasn't a stranger. In fact, he was the creator, my maker, the sower of my seed, who knew every letter of my story like he read wood in his sleep. But it never fit into my mind that I was tailored to suit a king until I witnessed him carry me upon his back as if my splinters comforted his wounds. I thought I was planted in shame, but for his sake I was only cut down to be raised on Calvary's hill. Even though I was stripped of my integrity, I was adorned with his royal clothing line, his name branded across me, King of the Jews, a design that was always fashionable in the mouths of angels. Piercing nail through his wrist, which penetrated mine, just to remind me that this hand would be upon me at all times. They lodged another in his other, and while they thought he'd be crushed, they just secured my hand to the one that could heal with a touch. They buried the final nail and made sure it was deep. They just didn't know it would only help me get closer to the feet of he who made a treadmill out of the sea. And he died. Like eternity's heart stopped, with the backdrop of a depressed sky that looked like it sounded like a smell that you wouldn't touch, let alone taste. Such a senseless act of love, wrapped in a blanket of agony, woven by the fingers of men whose hearts look just like yours. For the last several hours, I pretended to be his temporary throne, a throne that buckled at the weight of the glory of a king whose nickname is Majesty. So, when they unchained our souls and carried him down, I worshipped and I stood, old and rugged, but not naked, because I realized that I was covered in his blood. But this thing about his blood, it still illuminates with the color of awesome, and it speaks with the voice of roaring oceans when they harmonize with rumbling skies. And it's like it never stops flowing, like freestyle sessions with instrumentals on repeat. It flows like rivers streaming with life and currents strong enough to wash away the stench of sin from the stones you call hearts and the brooks you call lives. He's alive. He is life. He's the tree of life. He's divine. He's the vine. He's the tree of life. But I became the tree when he was hanging from me, like you become free when you hang on to he. Like he caught you running away from your old master, you could hang on this tree if you only believe. You can hang on this tree if you only or forsake you, is what he vows to never do. And he's committed, so committed that he could have left me stumped, but he didn't. And every time you come across a cross, you'll find his purpose in my image. And from now on, if you daily carry me, he will always carry you. 'Cause he did all of this while he had me on his back, but he had you on his heart, 'cause he knew exactly what it would take to get this message across.
So in closing, God is the source of our hope. What he did on the cross that day, that's where our hope comes from. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the message of hope. I thank you that we don't have to go through this life empty, broken, and disappointed. Yeah, Lord, this life does have disappointments, but we know we have eternal life with you, and that is where our hope lies. We thank you, Jesus, in your name.